Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Viller on Wednesday, the 16th of May, recording at a somewhat later 10:28 p.m. British Summer Time hour. Sorry about that. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. It's really very much more of the same. We're in a fairly virulent risk-off mode, and that weighed on the ASEAN stock markets, really pretty well all of Asia. Hong Kong was down over 3%, 3.2%, and Australia took a big hit as well, down 2.36%. The European stock markets had steadied at one stage, but then weakened again, closed with small declines, and a couple of very minor gains, Switzerland and France. The Americas, Wall Street reversed what was a reasonable rally at one stage and closed lower by just under 0.5% on the NASDAQ, a little bit more. I beg your pardon, just under 0.5% on the S&P and a little bit more on the NASDAQ. Now, they were pretty big swings overall on the day, but I say ending very much on the defensive, and that was also true of the other Americas markets that I can see on my screen. Against that background, government bonds mostly recovered from some earlier selling pressure in futures to show modest gains, but they're fairly quiet overall now. The Spanish bonds, those yields, remember they pushed above 6% last week, and they surged over 6.5% today before backing off to show a small decline on the day, but they're still uncomfortably high as a negative litmus test for European concerns. And U.S. dollar, which eased a little bit earlier in the day before firming once again, a little bit higher across the boards. And that pushed precious metals down once again. They opened weak, rallied to virtually unchanged or even small gains on the day, but then weakened as Wall Street turned south. So they're still moving very much like risk assets. Gold is trading after hours here at 1540. Silver down to 2720. Now, crude oil, that continued lower as well, with a Brent trading at 109 and a little change. That's extended that decline. And the WTI is down to 92.81 as I speak. Elsewhere, the grains and beans rallied. Strong gains in corn and also wheat, particularly in wheat, here today. That's pretty much it, although some selling pressure in the industrial metals as well. That's been a soft sector. Okay, in terms of price action. Now, so what's going on here overall? Well, this is, if I described it, I think it's a fairly virulent form of risk-off here, well into its third week. And it's, frankly, it's done more damage than I would have anticipated for a number of markets, in that we have seen them come back and erode support that was built up during the fourth quarter of last year. We've seen a fair number of markets break back beneath their 200-day moving averages. Some of those have turned down. The variation in performance is enormous, of course, because you've got the extremely weak European sector, extremely weak Southern European sector, I should say, plus the European banks index. We've had big retracements in growth economies such as Brazil and India, where currencies have been weak, and where there have been some concerns over governance. China, which was a holdout until this week, pretty much has been, in the sense of having shown relative strength last month, China is giving up some of those gains, but nowhere near as much as a number of other markets overall. The S&P's pulled back close to its 200-day moving average, which I would have thought is certainly going to be tested here. The Nasdaq also likely to weaken. Apple broke under the 550 level here today. Now, that's hardly surprising given the overextension that it had seen to the upside, but its MA moving average mean, and I feel that given the extent of the acceleration to the upside, virtually every time we've seen that happen with any market, we have seen pullbacks not only to the mean, but somewhat below the mean, and that means currently around the 482 level. So as to say, Apple breaking under 550 today, the mean's down at that 480 level, and likely to be tested at least, although of course that mean is still moving a little bit higher here every day. So it's not a pretty picture here overall. The good news is that valuations are much improved. Some of these trends, most of these trends now show short-term oversold conditions. The declines have speeded up, of course, so there is some evidence of climactic activity overall. But people are having a real fright over the European situation, and that's with the yields pushing back up and the elections and so on. That is definitely unnerving investors. But there are also broader growth fears, and this is a concern because almost any indicator you look at, and you won't find a better one for this than CCI, shows that that's a continuous commodity index, shows that global GDP growth is slowing overall. Now, I don't want to overreact in this, and I don't think I am, but I don't want to underestimate it all either. We know how volatile markets have been, and I keep mentioning the high-frequency algorithmic trading as a factor in all this. It leads to slow-motion melt-ups on the upside, and unfortunately, it has once again led to, or is now producing, a meltdown. And this is these things become self-feeding until we get a catalyst to turn them around. That catalyst may be coming from central banks. I mean, I've a concern of mine that I have erred. I was certainly erring last year, not so much this year, but that I felt that the Asian central banks, the growth economy central banks, were often behind the curve in terms of easing. That includes both China and particularly India. I mean, they have inflation problems, we do know, although they've abated considerably in China. But they don't want to reignite a property boom, and they're well you fairly you're fairly familiar with the story, I'm sure. And India certainly has inflation problems. It was ticked up again last month. But monetary policy is a fairly blunt instrument in terms of dealing with that, when most of the problems in India are due to not to food production or wage costs, but due to lack of transport, lack of refrigeration, just poor infrastructure generally. including storage facilities. So, wrap it all up, and we've got slow GDP growth and the euro concerns, and we're still awaiting for that catalyst. And central banks are probably hoping that it goes away. They're usually crisis-oriented, but there aren't that many central banks around that are happy to see GDP growth slowing. Certainly not in the UK, certainly not at the ECB, certainly not in China, and not in India right now or Brazil. Russia's got its own problems as well with protests against the Putin regime and a little bit of capital flight taking place there, according to one article that I saw this evening on Bloomberg. I may use that tomorrow. Now, against that background, where are the havens? Well, money has flooded back into the bond markets, although the rallies that we've seen in the futures have really stalled up here, and they look overextended, just as some of the stock market declines now look overextended. And as I say, valuations are much improved. But some of these bond yields strike me as ridiculous. In particular, we've got the JGBs down to 0.83%. Well, they have been lower briefly in 2003. We did see that, I think, in June 2003, when they briefly moved under half of 1%. And then I think it was either a Ministry of Finance or possibly even a BOJ governor or director, rather, had or certainly official, came out and said that those levels were ridiculous. I remember it well. And then we had a sharp rally in those yields. And in the past, looking at those JGBs, every time we have had a sell-off of, beg your pardon, a decline in yields of this magnitude, it has, in other words, a steep decline has quickly been reversed. Now, I think that makes Japan fairly interesting in the sense that I think the JGB yields will fall back starting in probably in the next few, some point in the next few weeks. Japan's under pressure to produce more stimulus. A conjunction that we could see is the JGBs coming down, the yen coming down, and a rally in the Japanese stock market, which is looking oversold once again. And I've been looking at the banking sector overall, and I'll review that either tomorrow or on Friday, review some of them, because these prices are really way, way down, as you're probably aware. But these banks are making money for the most part, and some of them have very attractive dividends, and they're not so high that they can't possibly be maintained types of dividends. These are banks that have actually been increasing their dividends gradually over the years, and they're in the 3.5, 4, even 5% among the bigger weighted banks. So I'm doing a little bit more research on that, but it looks potentially quite interesting. What else to mention here? The precious metal situation. Now, we're at a Rubicon here because we have seen gold and silver and platinum come back down to levels that we saw during the fourth quarter of last year. They have accelerated somewhat, although we haven't seen this kind of dramatic climactic activity that we saw during those other lows. So, for instance, when gold fell so sharply in September of 2011, and then significantly, although not quite as sharply, to reach the same level in December of last year. But we have seen certainly a steepening of the short-term downward trend. It's been quite persistent. They have been moving as like risk investments rather than safe haven investments. And they're overextended and oversold. But it's the perverse nature of these markets sometimes come back down to an important previous support level and take it out temporarily. But if we're not able to see gold push back up and at 1538, if we were to see this go back down below 1500 and hold that for more than a day or two, we could expect a further deterioration in sentiment overall. I mean, my view has been that the cyclical bull market is, I beg your pardon, the secular bull market for gold, which started back in around that 2001, 2002 period, that secular bull market is not over, but we are clearly in a major cyclical correction, which is very predictable following the accelerations that we saw on both gold and silver last year. But until the last couple of weeks, I was feeling that there was a reasonable chance that perhaps gold was in a support building phase to form a higher low. Well, unfortunately, that has not proved to be the case, and it's come right back down to test those other lows. So overall, these charts look toppy, still, albeit overextended and somewhat oversold in the short term. Now, if the secular bull is still intact, then we will need to see, or we would could expect to see, an eventual shift from distribution, selling pressure, back to accumulation, which would result in some rising lows within this very broad, now deep trading range that has confined precious metals since the summer or even spring, in the case of silver last year, April for silver, August and September for gold. Now, I've described that pattern before, saying that following earlier accelerations within the secular bull market, accelerations to the upside, we did see extensive pullbacks that came below the 200-day moving average. And then, in a long convalescence phase lasting about 18 months, in the second half of that phase, we began to see the gradually rising lows. Well, we are what, 7, 8 months into this corrective phase for gold. So this is around the time I would be hoping that we would see some evidence of rising lows, but it's just not there yet. And I will feel a little bit edgy until I see the technical confirmation. Technical evidence that we're getting demand re seeing demand regain the upper hand overall, and that's just not the case today. Supply is still retaining the upper hand and forcing this test of last year's lows. Interesting, but a bit troubling for long-term gold and silver bulls. Good news, though, on the energy front, seeing those prices come down because too high levels of crude oil have choked off global growth phases in the past, and we've seen it again. So we do need to reset, and we're getting that reset. Okay. Let's see if we get some short covering tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.